Ezekiel chapter 19, a lamentation, page 188. Chapter 19 consists of a lamentation made up of two closely related parables, the parable of the lion's whelps and the parable of the vine and her scepter. These parables were addressed to the princes of Israel. This word prince is the word used by Ezekiel of the seed royal. For example, thou profane wicked prince, that is Zedekiah, and my servant David, a prince among them. This lamentation is thus directed to the royal house, and in particular to Zedekiah, who was then reigning. The picture set out in this parable would be familiar to Ezekiel's contemporaries. A lioness surrounded by her family was a common sight in Canaan at that time. One of the young lions was the favorite of the lioness. It was strong and noted for its ferocity and rapacity, and it had killed men. A lion hunt was organized, and this whelp was captured and taken to Egypt. A mother lion waited, but when he did not return, she singled out another member of the family who, like his brother, became noted for his ferocity. Another hunt was organized. He too was taken, but this time it was to Babylon. Interpretation. The mother lion is Israel. The concept of Israel as a mother being a familiar one in the prophets. The princes for whom the lamentation is made were of the tribe of Judah, of which we read, Judah is a lion's whelp. To appreciate the parable, it is necessary to recall briefly the history of the times. Josiah was killed by Pharaoh Necho at Megiddo. Jehoahaz, his son, succeeded him, and he was deposed by Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt. Jehoiakim, his half-brother, was then placed on the throne by Necho, and subsequently he became vassal king to Nebuchadnezzar. After the death of Jehoiakim, his son Jehoiachin began to reign, and he was deposed and taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was then placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar, and after rebelling against him, was carried into captivity in Babylon. The first young lion, verse 3, appears to be Jehoahaz, son of Josiah, of whom it was said that the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king. Thus he was made king by the common consent of the people, that is, by the lioness. He did that which was evil. In particular, he devoured men, that is, he oppressed the people. Pharaoh Necho invaded during his reign and hunted down this young lion, taking him into the land of Egypt, where he remained until his death. Necho then placed Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, on the throne as vassal king. He was not the personal choice of the lioness, although he was an evil king. And the king of Babylon, who became the dominant power, ratified this arrangement. And Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years. During this time, the lioness waited, but Jehoahaz did not return. The second young lion was Jehoiachin, who, it would appear, reigned by consent of the people, certainly not by appointment of the king of Babylon, against whom Jehoiakim had by this time rebelled. Like Jehoahaz, he too reigned for only about 3 months, just long enough for him to demonstrate his wickedness. He too was captured in the pit of nations, being taken to Babylon. Although 2 Kings 24 records that Jehoiachin went out to the king of Babylon, it can only have been because the Babylonian hunter had cornered the lion of Judah and he could not escape. Ezekiel refers to the extent of this lion hunt in verse 8. The nations set against him on every side from the provinces. And from this it would appear that Nebuchadnezzar encouraged the nations about Israel to join him in the lion hunt. No doubt the nations involved were those who had harried Jehoiakim after his rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. The Chaldees, the Syrians, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. And there can be little doubt that Edom also was involved. If we compare Lamentations 4, verse 20 to 22, with Psalm 137, verse 7. This, then, is the first part of the lamentation. It brings us to the time where Ezekiel stood in history, for he was in captivity in Babylon, having been carried away with Jehoiachin. Zedekiah followed Jehoiachin, and he too walked wickedly before God. The lamentation now considers this man, and in so doing, the figure changes. Still addressing the royal house, the prophet likens Israel to a vine planted by the waters, flourishing and bringing forth much fruit and good healthy foliage. In particular, he directs attention to the strongest stem, which became a ruler's scepter. That's the RSV, verse 11. A reference to Zedekiah. But something dreadful happened. The vine was plucked up. The east wind destroyed its fruit. A fire out of its stem consumed it, and the vine was left planted in a wilderness in a state of desolation. We've met this figure before in chapters 15 and 17. The vine is Israel. The time of which the prophet speaks was still future to his day, but he speaks of things which be not, as though they were. Thy mother was like a vine. She is planted in the wilderness. That's verse 10 in the RSV. Verse 13 in the AV. He is projected into the future and speaks of the impending judgments upon Israel. This is a lamentation and shall, when it happens, be for a lamentation. Interpretation. In verse 10, Ezekiel pictures Israel as she was. For example, under the rulership of David, flourishing and bringing forth fruit. Ultimately, wickedness prevailed and the time had come for God's judgments to be revealed, so the vine was to be plucked up in fury. Things had already started to move in this direction because the prophet, with many of his countrymen, was already in captivity, but Israel still existed as a nation in the land. She was still planted as a vine and was at that very time pushing her roots towards Egypt. And in this section of the Lamentation, Ezekiel is looking to the final invasion by Nebuchadnezzar, who came and plucked up the vine and, like the east wind, dried up her fruit, deposing King Zedekiah, the strongest stem who had taken possession of the ruler's scepter. He carried away the vine and planted it in the wilderness of Babylon. And thus, verse 13 had its historical outworking. The burning of the vine was this same destruction of the body politic of Israel, which had been predicted by Moses and later by Isaiah. This last reference in Isaiah chapter 50 is interesting, for there the fire which would burn up Israel is spoken of in these words: "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks." The fire, the judgment of God, was really of their own making. This was the case in Israel at the time of Ezekiel. The people were to be punished because of their sinfulness, and chief among the sinners of God's wayward people was that profane, wicked prince of Israel, Zedekiah. He is the rod of whom the prophet speaks. Verse 14. Fire is gone out of a rod of her branches. It may be that these two parables have a most interesting connection with Jacob's prophecy concerning Judah. It could well be the case that in Ezekiel's parables of the lion's whelps and the vine and the scepter, there was an invitation to the rulers to consider Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49. Both the vine and the scepter are mentioned. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people," or peoples, be, "binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes." Without doubt, this is a prophecy concerning Messiah. Shiloh is a difficult word, but the meaning most likely is "he to whom it," that is the scepter, "belongs, he whose right it is." Judah would retain the position of supremacy among the tribes until he came whose right it is. Not that Judah would then relinquish this position, but rather greater things would then take place. Among these would be the bringing in of the Gentiles, referred to in the words, "unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be." Concerning this, Jacob proceeds to say, "binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine." The ass was the only unclean animal whose firstborn could be redeemed by a lamb. We are Gentiles, unclean, and also firstborns, an ecclesia of firstborns, according to the Dialog for Hebrew 12:23. And we have been redeemed by a lamb. Thus, the Gentiles constitute the ass bound by Shiloh to the choice vine, which is Israel. But in the light of Jacob's prophecy, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, why does Ezekiel say, she hath no strong scepter? In Ezekiel, the reference is to one particular shoot out of the vine. It is suggested that here reference is being made to the line of David through Solomon. The line of Solomon was the strong stem that possessed the ruler's scepter. All the kings reigning in Jerusalem who sat upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel from David onwards were descended from Solomon. But the time had come, because of sin, for the children of Solomon to be removed. Jehoiachin was written childless, and Zedekiah's sons were put to death. The strong rod which held the scepter was to cease. Since with the final overthrow by Nebuchadnezzar, there was no nation. There was no need for the scepter. And just as Judah did not exercise rulership in the wilderness, the kingdom would be no more until he come whose right it is. And when this Shiloh came, he was of the tribe of Judah, but not of the line of Solomon. He was son of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of the vine. That's Psalm 80, verse 15. See the RV margin, the son of the vine. But he was born into the line of Nathan, one of David's other sons. The vine now again possesses a strong rod that before long will be revealed in the earth. Of him it is written in Psalm 110, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. He will then forever bear the scepter that Zedekiah lost.